Have you ever felt your heart race and hands shake before speaking to a group? As a speechwriter for President Obama for 8 years, I crafted powerful addresses for one of history's greatest orators while harboring my own terror of public speaking. The irony wasn't lost on me when I froze during a simple karaoke night with colleagues in Japan. Despite writing words that moved millions, I couldn't deliver a simple dinner toast without disaster. This disconnect between writing powerful speeches and being unable to deliver them myself led me on a journey to understand what makes communication truly effective. Drawing from witnessing Obama connect with audiences across 40 countries, I discovered practical tools for anyone who needs to speak, pitch, or present in our diverse, technology-transformed world. The most powerful principle of effective speaking is simple. Give the speech that only you can give. Tell your own stories. This authenticity is what audiences crave. President Obama learned this through experience. After freezing during an early fundraising pitch, he developed his speaking abilities across various venues. He believed everybody has a sacred story, and effective speaking requires knowing yourself and your beliefs. A speech isn't an essay. It's a performance, creating a shared experience between speaker and listeners. Since your audience can't reread what they miss, clarity is essential. When speaking, you're the lead role and perfectly cast. The biggest mistake is trying to sound like someone else. Obama himself rejected pressure to speak inauthentically, insisting you have to be yourself. This connection between speaker and audience is scientifically real. Princeton researchers discovered neural coupling, where speakers' and listeners' brainwaves align during effective communication. The more our brain patterns synchronize, the better we understand each other. The most common presentation mistake is rushing to write without planning. Follow the 50-25-25 rule instead. 50% thinking and organizing, 25% writing, and 25% editing and practicing. This approach works for any timeline, with preparation quality mattering more than delivery. Effective preparation requires situational awareness about your audience, your connection with them, why you were invited, and your time allocation. President Obama would begin by asking, "What's the story we're trying to tell here?" As a former author, he understood that good speeches are essentially good stories. He would either identify the theme immediately or methodically build his argument with evidence. Great speakers excel at research, finding golden nuggets, interesting ideas, surprising quotes, and compelling stories that elevate their remarks. Even Obama studied speeches of wartime leaders and theologians before his Nobel Peace Prize address. After thinking and researching, transform ideas into words. Despite some speech coaches' advice, I recommend writing out your remarks word for word in most situations, as this reveals your argument's strengths and weaknesses beforehand. The opening moments of your speech create an irretrievable first impression. Skip tedious acknowledgments that kill energy, and instead establish emotional connection through genuine warmth, credibility, or compelling stories. Don't obsess over crafting the perfect opening line. As Obama advised, get the story right first, and the lines will follow. Effective openings include brief, enthusiastic acknowledgments, celebrating what your audience loves, shocking them with unexpected statements, or greeting them in their language. You don't need to start with a joke. Simply incorporate humor through self-deprecation, surprising comments, or wordplay. When Florida high school senior Xander Morick faced censorship under the Don't Say Gay law, he cleverly used his curly hair as a metaphor. "I used to hate my curls. I spent mornings and nights embarrassed of them." The audience understood his creative solution and applauded. The core purpose of any good speech is uniting people around a worthy cause. In our divided world, speakers must choose whether to inflame divisions or bring people together. Whether delivering a toast, workplace presentation, or political speech, aim to unite listeners through three approaches: shared challenges, shared identity, and shared ideas. People unite most naturally when facing common threats. To motivate action, make challenges concrete using vivid language rather than abstractions. Michelle Gelfand identified a threat dictionary of words like attack, collapse, and suffering that effectively describe challenges. While demagogues exploit tribal instincts to divide, we can evoke shared identities to unite people. We is democracy's most powerful word. Inclusive language like we, our, and all of us builds common ground, unlike dividing us from them. Research shows that reminding people of shared identities decreases negative attitudes toward political opponents. Speakers can also motivate audiences through common beliefs. Many business leaders miss this opportunity by focusing only on products rather than larger ideas. Connecting your message to bigger concepts like universal rights, privacy, or intergenerational responsibility can unite and inspire audiences across various contexts. Greta Thunberg's data-heavy climate speeches often confused audiences, demonstrating how facts alone rarely persuade. While logic matters, statistics can backfire when audiences are skeptical or become numb to large-scale problems. Studies show people donated more to help one child, Rokia, than when her story appeared alongside broader crisis statistics. Emotion, not data, creates audience connection. Thunberg's fiery UN speech declaring, "You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words," resonated globally because she deeply felt her message. Michelle Obama similarly insists on emotional cores for her speeches. Research confirms emotional language's power. Studies reveal readers share online articles triggering strong emotions like awe, anger, or anxiety because these create physiological arousal. Tweets with moral emotional words are 20% more likely to be shared. While showing emotion was historically discouraged in public speaking, especially for women and people of color, authentic emotional expression is now admired. Obama's tearful response to the Newtown shooting became one of his most-watched presidential moments because he spoke as a parent, sharing his genuine feelings. Unlike other communications, speeches must conclude with hope because their purpose is to inspire action. People only act when they believe progress is possible. Hope drives our most important endeavors, from education to entrepreneurship to charitable giving. Without hope that change is possible, there's no reason for an audience to respond to your call. Neuroscientist Tali Sharit's research reveals humans possess an optimism bias, the belief that the future will be better than the present. About 80% of people across cultures experience this bias, even during difficult times, making hope a more effective motivator than fear. Hope isn't blind optimism. As Obama said, hope is that thing inside us that insists, despite all evidence to the contrary, that something better awaits us if we have the courage to reach for it. Effective speakers acknowledge obstacles while maintaining faith in eventual success and emphasizing that hope requires action. In a world dominated by fear and division, the most powerful gift you can give your audience is the belief that change is possible through their actions. Your words can move mountains, but only if you speak authentically, connect emotionally, and inspire listeners to act.